The other day I was sitting out in the back garden and I had one of those moments where I looked around and I went, holy shit, I'm alive. I'm actually alive. And it's weird because it makes me realize how I'm just asleep all the time. Like I don't feel asleep, but until you have those moments, those tiny moments where you go, I exist. I'm real. This is happening. This is happening right now. I'm actually awake and I'm in this garden. Who am I? What's going on? And it's great, but it feels like recontext all the other moments, which are 99.9% of the moments, is I'm actually asleep. And so I'm sleepwalking. I'm just sleepwalking through entire days, entire years. And if I sieved the 365 days, through a sieve, I'd turn up with maybe a couple of spare minutes where I was actually here. But Cormac McCarthy's, one of his beautiful quotes is, you remember what you want to forget and you forget what you want to remember. So memory's got such a weird way of keeping certain things going on. Like, I don't remember anything about yesterday or the day before. All I remember about the last few months is Clint Eastwood on a TV screen between Christmas and New Year's. And that's got nothing to do with anything. I don't care about that. But I was actually, that was one time I was actually feeling calm. I felt peaceful. I felt like, I'm alive. I feel normal. I remember Billy Collins said once, that he's a poet, he said poetry is a way of being able to be pushed through a car screen and come out the other side still being alive. I'm not quoting that direct properly, but it's something like when you're in a traumatic situation, you remember every single detail, time slows down, it's slow motion, you feel alive because it's a near-death experience. So yeah, I think he said, yeah, poetry is like a near-death experience with a bit of safety going on. But that's the thing. Bad poetry can be the opposite. I feel like bad poetry can poison you. Good poetry is fucking great. But the bad stuff, and there's shitloads of it, it's actually dangerous. Like, it actually makes me feel like I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this world, because it's written mostly by state-sponsored bullshit. It's got politics in it. It doesn't cater to the universal heart. It caters to people who identify through the way they look. Poetry should be universal. Well, for me, I think it is the best stuff for me. For me is universal heart poetry. Can cater to anyone. Like, I feel like it should be like a dog. Like, a dog will love everyone, not like a pissed off cat that will probably tell you to get fucked. Yeah, it just doesn't feel, in the spirit of poetry, that doesn't feel right. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, I'm just going around in circles again. But yeah, feeling alive. Wanting to feel alive in a world where I'm nearly asleep all the time. I think I've talked about it before, but Eckhart Tolle's meditations, visual meditations, where I just felt really good for 6 months just by looking at blades of grass and trees, just like really looking at stuff, and I felt alive that I didn't want to write. And that's when I felt, actually, I remember some of those moments. And that's the danger of writing, I guess, is they say that writing lets you live twice. And in a way, that's kind of bullshit, because sometimes I feel like writing is a waste of life, that I'm not in the moment. I'm documenting the moment in anticipation of going back to edit it on a page with my thoughts and paper. And I'm not there anymore. I'm writing it, and writing it feels like it's a memory of a memory, and it loses the clarity of the original experience of being there. Writing poetry feels like the asshole right at the front of a crowd watching a band and just watching it through their phone. That's what I feel like I'm doing. writing poetry just feels like I'm just filming sunsets and not even watching it. But yeah, it's a weird one. It's addictive. Writing is addictive. I get to discover shit that I didn't realize I thought by writing it out and thinking it out on page. And I go, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. But then I think of all the times that people who have dedicated their lives to doing that and have saved my ass in my 20s and 30s, and they made the world make sense for me when I was in my 20s and 30s. Now I kind of feel like that's my weird job. If I think about it, I'm mostly help most of the people who follow me are in their sort of 25 to 40 group, and I'm nearly 50. So sometimes I feel like it's a weird service, but not really. It's really a service to myself. It's pretty selfish. I love it. It entertains me. It makes me feel sane. One good idea can make me feel sane for about a good 24 hours and it wears off. Yeah, going back to Poison and poetry, you have to read a lot of shit poetry, a lot of shit books, a lot of shit words to find 1% of something that's good. I felt like that's what I did in my 20s. I read a lot of stuff and a lot of it didn't make sense, or it felt like I was supposed to like it somehow. And it just felt, all the words felt fake. A lot of supposed famous books felt fake. Like hipsters with Penguin Classics tucked into their back pockets walking around. Nearly all of those books are shit. I've read a lot of them since. Or for me, they're shit. And they're Poison. I feel like I don't even know why they're still around. And there's a rare few people who just write actual true things. When I hear one thing that's said that's true, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter where truth comes from. If it comes from a junkie or a politician, which is really rare, if it comes from a cat, or it's a dog barking the truth, if it comes from, I don't know, I'm giving you bad examples, giving myself bad examples, but it can come from anywhere. If someone says something true, I don't give a shit where it comes from. And the world these days loves that the truth, or thinks that the truth should come from a so-called respected source. And all those so-called respected sources are now pure bullshit artists. They know that they're respected sources. So now they totally take advantage of that. Like the idea that ABC has a media watch, like it thinks it's so much better than all the other channels, all the other media, that it has a media watch. Like for years, I didn't even question that. And now I go, that's almost an oxymoron. If you're going to position yourself as the watchdog of, that's kind of quite dodgy. Oh, I'm going around in circles. But anyway, the truth should come from anywhere. And so I found truth from artists and poets who would be cancelled these days. And no wonder the suicide rate's gone up, because most of the places you can get where you can get truth from would be cancelled these days. So yeah, that's the price that we pay as a culture. If you want depression, bring on this righteous bullshit where everyone's saying that our actions have consequences, but without actually going into the philosophical background of what actually is an action, what good and bad, the nature of good and bad, where does that come from? And it's just so murky and bullshit. It's just gone nuts. Like, it's been talked about so much, I can't even be fucked talking about it, and I'm talking about it. Shut up, Darby. But anyway, the truth should come from places. Shouldn't come from a single respected source. It should be gathered from everywhere. You make a nest out of the truth, and you find your own truth, little bits, twigs, bits and pieces, and you piece it all together. And sometimes bits and pieces will have to go. Sometimes you bring in new shit. But the danger for me is, yeah, not trying to keep open to truth, because I've become so jaded in the last 4 or 5 years, as everyone has, as we make this weird transition from the bullshit of mainstream media to more individual voices out there saying actual real things. I don't want to throw out all mainstream media. I've got to be careful of that, because I pretty much have. I'll check out The Guardian, The Age, SBS, ABC, and for me, every headline from those places are basically a reverse compass for the truth. And so I've got to remember, no, that's not, I can't just hold, you know, fucking wholesale thoughts. Oh, overthinking it. But that's the fun of life, isn't it? I'm just overthinking shit. Fucking overthinking. Who cares? Go back to Eckhart Tolle meditations, Darby, and just be content. Don't think about it all. It's just a human bullshit made reality. Just chewing over for no reason at all to entertain myself. Reason to stay alive in this stupid world. Go and pat a stray cat today, Darby, I think. Just shut the fuck up. If you'd like to leave a review for this podcast on Spotify or Apple or a comment on YouTube, I'd love that. Oh, okay, I've got to do some shit for the day. What am I doing? My anxiety's gone, which is good. I'm going to the supermarket. Oh, I love the supermarket. I love going to the supermarket. Makes me feel semi-sane. I don't know why. The structured aisles, the products in their right place. I feel like it's the antithesis to my messy brain. And I walk around the supermarket going, oh, I'm absorbing normal vibe. Normal vibe. Hopefully it's disability hour or whatever they call it, where they have the dim lights and I can walk around like it's my own little private, beautiful, delicious fridge. Anyway, I'm talking shit. Bye.